News Talk, 770 AM, 92.5 FM, WVNN, Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid, conservative, and just plain right. Hey, listen, if you find yourself driving outside the overly broad range of our AM-FM capability at WVNN, literally, the WVNN has got a great range. I mean, basically, you're having to leave North Alabama and South Tennessee to get out of our range, but doesn't matter. All you got to do is go to rightsideradio.org. That's rightsideradio.org. Click on Listen Live, and no matter where you is, there we is what I always say. That's why we have so many listeners in so many places. We got people that call in from out of state. We got listeners that send us feedback on social media and emails and otherwise that come in from South Alabama and all points beyond. I know we got people that say they listen in Louisiana, Texas, out in Indiana, Florida, Georgia. Good Lord, they're all over the place. But I love that. And I love the fact that we've got this audience. So thank you for being a part. And just know that, like I said, take us on vacation. Doesn't matter. Rightsideradio.org is the website. Listen live. And there you go. Hey, moving to the next topic right now. Wokeness in the military. Let me start off by clarifying something that I want to make sure you hear from me. You should never be ashamed of your service. So do not think that when I have comments about concerns about the way the military is being run or where it's headed or what our capabilities are. No. Do not think for a second that in any way denigrates the service that you provide or have provided to our great nation in uniformed service. I'm proud of mine. I'm proud of my family's. It is part of the legacy of my family to have service to this nation. And it's something that I'm extremely proud of and I have no issue with. Do I have frustrations in the mix? Of course I do. And do I want to see it better? Of course I do. And do I want to see the strength and the values of our military preserved? Of course I do. Duty, honor, country should not be something that is just painted on a wall. It should be legit. It should be that thing that you stand for. And we should know that if we are called to that highest, measure of duty to go to war on behalf of this nation, that there is no lack of training and preparation that has already taken place to get you there. My concern right now, the thing that I'm bringing up at this moment, is the fact that there is a softening of the standards in order to accommodate the wokeness of liberal society. And those of you right now that are still wearing the uniform, if you're listening to me online or otherwise, you know what I'm talking about. You know what I'm talking about when I say a little while ago I had to evaluate a young combat leader and I had to whittle down my comments on his combat effectiveness, which were stellar, in order to make sure I included the ridiculous comments mandatory, which would have been rejected. The whole OER, the Officer Evaluation Report, would have been rejected if I had not included the phrase that he is compliant with and supports the command's sexual harassment and equal opportunity policies. I mean, why? Why would a young infantry officer want to be graded on pretty much anything else in wartime? And yet I had to, in order to make sure that his OER got submitted to his file. Well, let me read you something. I found this quote on the rightsideradio.org website. We've got a section called Recommended Reading. It's basically where, if there's a book that stands out as one that was impactful, one that, that literally meant something to me, to like beyond just, good casual reading, then I've got a number of them listed on there. One of the books on there is called Spirit Warriors by a guy named Stu Weber. Stu Weber is a pastor, and I'm trying to think of the name of it. I think it's Good Shepherd Community Church out in Washington State, I believe, or maybe it's Oregon. But the reality is he was also a Green Beret in Vietnam. Highly decorated, solid dude, a man's man. He was big in the Promise Keepers movement, used to do a lot of the speaking tours during that time frame. But Stu Weber wrote this book. I actually found it right as I was leaving for Afghanistan, took it with me and read it downrange. In fact, I came back from Afghanistan in late 2002 and was at Fort Bragg demobilizing. Since my unit was part of Special Operations Command, we were near the Joint Special Warfare, it's called USAFIC, the Special Forces Command, and the Special Forces or Special Operations Schoolhouse. And right next to that is called the John F. Kennedy Special Warfare Chapel, with a monument dedicated by none other than John Wayne. How cool is that to go to church at a place like that? I went to church right after I'd gotten back on base, myself and one of the guys from my team, walked in the door, and guess who the guest speaker was? Stu Weber. It was very cool. All right, that was a total aside. My point is, I decided just recently that in my morning quiet times, I was going to sort of go back to that book again and begin just kind of working my way through it. At the beginning of each chapter, he'll have a verse of scripture and usually a verse from a general or a combat leader or someone who spoke to the nature of a warrior's heart. And this quote was in the beginning of one of the chapters. It's attributed to, it just says, a 4th century general officer of the Roman legions. Listen to this quote. It says, when, because of negligence and laziness, parade ground drills were abandoned, and the customary armor began to feel heavy since the soldiers rarely, if ever, wore it. Therefore, they asked the emperor to set aside breastplates and mail, and then the helmets. So our soldiers fought the Goths without any protection for the heart and the head, and they were often beaten by archers. Although there were many disasters, which led to the loss of great cities, no one tried to restore the armor to the infantry. They took the armor off, and when the armor came off, so too came their integrity. What he's saying is, when they began to lose the good order and discipline, when they began to lose the warrior spirit, when they began to lose the hard-chiseled combat effectiveness of a military unit because they were too busy being soft and accommodating and allowing social pressures to dictate what they did, they began to lose in war. Well, I think that same quote could be attributed to today's military if we're not careful. Are we still one of the strongest, greatest militaries in the history of the world? Yes, absolutely. Do we run the risk of losing some of what we've got and what we've built? Yes, absolutely. Well, I've got an audio clip I want to play. Copper, clip 4, you ready to go on that? You good? Give me a highlight. Yeah, I see it. Okay, thank you. So there was just to give you an idea of what some of the leadership, how they think and how they react. The whole Afghanistan debacle, there's still been no accountability whatsoever. None. Zero. Zero accountability. Among the tragedies of Afghanistan, of the way that we abandoned the role, of the way that we denigrated the service of those who had spent time there, of the way that we had 13 service members killed at the gate to the airport, was also the fact that we abandoned American citizens. Abandoned them, despite the fact that our current commander-in-chief, said that we would not leave until all Americans were out. We did anyway. Well, at first, you remember the deal? It's just, you know, we think there may be 100. You know, we're not sure. Well, no. News story came out. John Kirby, the general spokesperson for the general officers at the Pentagon, the Department of Defense, literally did an interview, you know, good on him for actually going on with Dana Perino and Bill Hemmer at Fox, but he gave an interview and they questioned him, and they questioned him hard. John Kirby, in the course of the interview, went ahead and confessed that they believed that upwards of 1,000 Americans were left behind. But he went on to say things like, you know, there were some assumptions. That's the leadership. Copper, go ahead and play clip 4.
Bring in Pentagon Press Secretary John Kirby, who is here with us, and we are so glad that you are. Thank you so much.
Good morning.
Thank you.
You've done a huge amount of work this year, so we got lots to cover. On this, did you ever think that it was more than 100 Americans there? I mean, why was that so hard to nail down?
Yeah, it's a great question, Dana. It was a bit of a moving target throughout the evacuation because, as you know, we don't require American citizens to register their presence in Afghanistan. Most of them are dual national, so they were struggling with whether to leave or not. So sometimes we get an indication that, hey, I want to go, and then they might change their mind, and so they'd be taken off the list. So the number was a bit of a moving target. What I think is encouraging, though, is that, you know, now almost 1,000 since August 31st, since we left, have been brought out, and we're continuing to look for others that want to go.
The problem with the number is that you are off by 90%.
Well, again, it's not a science, Bill. It's not like they register, on some sort of list that we just have that's static and permanent.
Were you assuming that they crossed the border into Pakistan, what was the assumption?
There were lots of assumptions. Maybe they left overland to Pakistan, or maybe they just didn't want to declare that they were ready to go.
All right, go ahead and stop it there, Copper. It's maddening to me. All right. First of all, like I said, good on him for going on the show and facing the questions. And good on Bill Hemmer for saying, yeah, your numbers were 90% off. 90%. That's the leadership that we have right now in terms of the Department of Defense. There were assumptions. Oh, it was 1,000 Americans. Well, you know, what do you do? And he went on to even say basically that he thinks it's a good thing that some are wanting to come out now and that we begin to get some of them out. Well, it's a good thing. It wouldn't happen if you had been a different type of leadership. But let's take a look at where we're going in terms of wokeness. Because that same type of passivity, that same type of, oh, you know, it'll come together, that same type of attitude of laissez-faire and let's work with what feels good is what's going to get us into trouble and embraces wokeness. So article right now from the Washington Free Beacon. Washington Free Beacon on 13 December, which is just 2 days ago, points out the fact that President Biden has nominated a Navy admiral to be the vice chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff. Trying to find his name. It's Admiral Grady, I believe. Yeah, Admiral Christopher Grady. And Grady was asked by Liberal Senator Democrat Jeanne Shaheen of New Hampshire how he intends to implement women, peace, and security legislation within the Joint Chiefs, to which his response was, well, the role of a gender advisor is a way to attack a very significant issue. And if confirmed, I look forward to leveraging those advisors who can make me think it better and smarter about the issues that you raise. So I look forward to understanding understanding that ecosystem and helping advance that cause going forward. Okay, so he's literally saying that, and by the way, the article goes on to say there are military gender advisors that occupy a nebulous role in the armed services already. And that a 2016 paper talks about it, but the reality is gender, what does that even mean anymore? If gender is fluid, and we're already looking at all of the intersectionalities and the name your pronouns and transgenders are allowed to be in the military, then what does it mean now that the potential future vice chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff believes that we need to have gender advisors with our combat troops? I want to remind you of this before we go to the break. The Special Operations Command, of which I used to be a part, the U.S. Special Operations Command, I said on the show about 3 months ago, just recently named a new Chief of Diversity and Inclusion. His name is Richard Torres Estrada, hyphenated name, Richard Torres Estrada. So the Special Operations Command, the headquarters that includes Navy SEALs and Army Green Berets and Army Rangers and Air Force Special Tactics soldiers and all of them, literally, now has a Chief of Diversity and Inclusion as among their leadership. I'm just telling you, folks, this kind of wokeness, and I've got more, and I'm coming back with more right after this break. Go ahead and move us to a break, Copper, but I'm just telling you, this kind of wokeness loses wars. This kind of wokeness is the type of leadership that makes Afghanistan go down the way it did. This kind of wokeness is what causes the downfall of societies. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Solid conservative, just plain right. We'll be right back with more of that.